In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah of the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angel had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I invite the children to come up. Hi. All ready for Christmas, right? Yeah, how many of you have seen Jesus? Didn't I see Jesus yet? Is he hiding? No. Where do you think Jesus is going to be found? Do you know about the little boy who wanted a bicycle? And, you know, you've seen these big displays of the nativity scene, you know, Jesus and Mary and the baby on the lawn. Well, in this one, they had a little doll that was playing the part of Jesus, just laying there. And all at once, the baby Jesus disappeared. And they wondered where in the world that baby could be. And then they got an anonymous phone call from some kid who said, "I'm holding Jesus hostage. If you want him back, I need a bicycle." Now, I don't think that'll work. Do you? Because where do you think Jesus would like to be most? Do you think he would like to be in a palace? No? How about in a horse barn? Maybe. How about in your heart? All right, that's where Jesus wants to be. And that's where we invite Jesus to come. So when you come to worship, always say a prayer asking Jesus to come, because you know what he said? He promised that wherever two or more are gathered in his name, he'll be there. Mm-hmm. All right? How many people we got here? We got two?
More.
Maybe more. Two or more are here. So Jesus is here. And Jesus wants to come into your heart too. Shall we pray? Thank you, Jesus, for coming into our lives and into our hearts. Bless us, so that your presence will be shining forth in all that we do and say. Amen.
Amen.
You can have a seat. Well, we have been on a journey. A journey that started way back when in history. And we've been on a journey through Lent, Advent, all the way to Christmas and beyond as we look forward to the second coming. So Jesus has been waiting for us, coming into our lives every day. One of our problems quite often is that we have a spiritual GPS. that sometimes, have you ever had your GPS lead you someplace you didn't want to go? We have. I mean, we had to take us around in a circle and never did find what we were looking for using it. Well, spiritual GPS is kind of the same way. We need spiritual guidance to lead us where we want to go. But quite often we get turned around and go in the wrong direction, or we get the wrong instruction. There's a comic strip that I enjoy. It's Beetle Bailey. Have you seen that? Okay, in one of those Beetle Bailey comic strips, there's a character by the name of Zero. Now, if I understand it right, Zero kind of defines his IQ. It's not very high. Well, Zero comes to the sergeant and he says, "Sergeant, you know that barracks you want us to build? Is it all right if we build the inside first?" And the sergeant just shakes his head and said, "Zero, you ninny, you can't build a building from the inside out. You've got to start with the floor. You got to build walls and a ceiling before you can build the inside." Well, Zero thinks about that a little bit, turns to his friends and says, "Come on, guys, we got to tear it all down and start all over." Well, sometimes God has to do that with us. Let us fall so that we can be rebuilt again. If you look at the way in which the children of Israel had their spiritual GPSs messed up over the centuries, it's just amazing that we are where we are. All the way back to Adam and Eve, we have this attitude that they were they and we are we, and we don't really come together. But if we were good Jews, we would understand that remembering is not just looking at that poster and remembering, yeah, we had a 100th anniversary. We would remember, we would relive all 100 years of that. We would relive what it meant for our ancestors to come through all of the difficulties and all of the struggles through all those years. The Hebrew people, even today, will tell you, "We were there when Adam and Eve got kicked out of the garden. We were there when Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt. We were there when we messed up so bad that God let us go into exile in Babylon. We were there when we got to come back to the Holy Land. We were there," because they relive. If you know any Jewish people, ask them about it. Because they'll tell you that the celebrations that they have, like they just celebrated Hanukkah. There are elaborate ceremonies dealing with that to help them relive those events. One of the reasons we end up in difficulty is we don't pay attention to what God is trying to teach us. Where is God leading us? What does God want from us? It is that mess up, the tearing down, which brings about, what's brought about the flood. Remember, God had to start all over again. It's the same kind of thing, excuse me, that happened when the children of Israel were in Egypt and were brought back, or when they're in exile and brought back. Paul experienced some of that. He had to get knocked off his high horse. Actually, it was a donkey. But he had to get knocked off that and then was blinded until he could see what God was trying to say to him. How extreme things had to be for Paul finally to come to his senses and realize he was persecuting Christ. You know, Jesus said something about that, not just to Paul, but to us in the gospel, when he says, "Whatever you do to the least of my brothers, you do to me." He keeps telling us over and over again what he wants of us and what we need to do to
to be his servants in the world. But sometimes it's really hard to catch a glimpse. Lost my... It's hard to catch a glimpse of Christ because there's so much else to see. You know, you look at the tree and you see all those lights, you see all the beautiful decorations, and sometimes you don't see more than that. But and I'm in the dark here too. Almost. Sometimes we need to catch a glimpse. And only a glimpse. I only caught a glimpse of him, only in the light so dim. Then I saw that heavenly light, when I saw his eyes so bright. While the world outside remains, kings of earth in their domain, here in quiet stable place, comes the one with heaven's grace. The refrain is in your bulletin if you'd like to sing along. Glimpse of heaven in his eyes, glimpse of heaven from the skies, glimpse of heaven, angels sing, England, heaven, bells will ring. Glimpse of heaven close to me, glimpse of heaven now I see. Not a palace nor a throne, not a temple, crown or throne, not a label gossip spread, not a tale you heard was said. What I saw is what I tell, not mere gossip from the well. Shepherds, peasants, sinners all, on their knees before him fall. Glimpse of heaven in his eyes, glimpse of heaven from the skies, glimpse of heaven, angels sing, glimpse of heaven, bells will ring, glimpse of heaven close to me, glimpse of heaven now I see. Sometimes it's hard to get a glimpse of heaven. Hard to get a glimpse. Almost knocked that one over. Helps to have eyes in the back of your head, doesn't it? Ooh. But if we have the slightest bit of a glimpse of the one who came to save us, imagine how he can change our entire lives, our entire outlook on life. Lars Eriksson was a man who was down on everything. He was not. He was in ill health. They were nearing poverty. They had very little to live on. And on Christmas Eve, he was about as far in the dumps as he could possibly get. His little daughter, who was 5, was playing nearby, cutting little. Paper products that looked like the manger scene, sort of. And she put it up near her dad, and she said, "How do you like it, Dad?" And he said, "Fine." She said, "Dad, you didn't even look. You got to get down on your knees in order to get a glimpse of Jesus." Well, maybe that's true for us too. Maybe we have to get down so that we can see Jesus also. Because we live so high and far above the lowly. Remember that the shepherds only got to go see Jesus because they were the poorest, low-class people there were. They'd never have made it into a palace. But there, in a stable, they got a glimpse of Jesus. Joseph and Mary got a glimpse of Jesus, and you and I can also. Now I see it when I pray, now I see it every day, now I see it in the face of the child of every.
just like new. Wondrous gift I see in you. Glimpse of heaven in the eyes, glimpse of heaven from the skies, glimpse of heaven angels sing, glimpse of heaven bells will ring, glimpse of heaven close to me, glimpse of heaven now I see.
May you this Christmas catch a glimpse of heaven. A glimpse of Jesus, a glimpse of the one who gives you life. Amen. Amen.